Hi there, Conscious Living, Empower Radio. I'm Wendy. Nice to have you along. Wanted to get into some fun stuff. Just as we, time is irrelevant. It doesn't matter when you hear this. It's now. Okay, it's happening now. So we'll just go with now. I could do that, except this story that I'm talking about happened just recently, which is why now is so much more fun and more important. And I really wanted to talk with somebody so we could get more content and more background on this. Rose DeDan is my person, my go-to for this. She's written the book, Tales of a Healer. Website, you can check it out, ReikiShamanic.com. A lot of information. She helps people with Reiki and with working with animals. And animal communication came up because there was a little girl recently in the media. And first, I want Rose to say hey and chime in, and then we'll get into this together. Hey, Rose.
Hey, nice to be here.
Yay. And the news thing about the little girl I thought was so powerful because she's 6 years old and she already has this wonderful insight. And when you were growing up, did you have that connection with animals?
I'd say yes, although I wasn't aware of it from the standpoint that Megan expressed it. Natural connection with them.
Yeah, that was, she's very articulate. My thing was I also had a connection with animals too, but I didn't experience it that way. And in some ways, I actually try not to have it because I didn't know what it was. So this is so nice to be able to see such a refreshing, candid, and very lucid comment coming from a six-year-old. And you watched the video again, right?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. I watched it several times too. And the thing is, her mom happened to have the camera rolling or the phone at the time that this was going on. What happened? Background for the story. There's a dog that had gone AWOL. The dog been with a foster family for a while to be prepared to go out and be adopted for the forever home. And this dog, Daisy, she looks like she's a shepherd mix of some kind, very beautiful dog. Anyway, she went to her forever home and said, gone, out of here. And so for, I think it was a couple of months or so, all the professionals, the people who are, you know, good at rescuing and recovering animals who are on the lam, had tried every trick in the book, the traps, the bait, the, you know, anything they could think of that might get this dog to turn herself in. The dog's like, yeah, right. Been there, done that. And the thing is, they called the foster home that Daisy had been with Megan and her mom, and told them about this and wondered if they could help. And I think they went out there a couple of times, not knowing what to expect, and then trying to, you know, put a blanket out there for the dog to at least recognize the scent. And then Megan goes out and with her mom in the truck, and she says that she needs to go out and be with the dog. And you see her walking out into the field by herself, and she then sits down, lays down, and the dog comes up to her. Now I'm condensing this a little bit, but what happened later was when they asked Megan how this worked, she said, well, you can talk to dogs in your head. And Daisy told me to come out there without mom and she would come up to me. It was just so brilliant. And so genuine and so obviously effective that she knew exactly what she was doing. What did you think about that story?
It was more like what I felt. I mean, I watched it and it brought tears to my eyes because Megan was so sincere and so fully in connection, you know, with what you can do, how you can connect with animals. And, you know, as a six-year-old, she isn't filtering it. You know, it's the truth to her. She's not concerned about what anybody is going to think about what she says. It's just, hey, this is the way it is. And that's humbling because, you know, I've had to spend years, shall we say, undoing what happened between the time I was a child, you know, and an adult, all the things that you're told. I wasn't told this by my family, but the outside world tells you, no, you can't do that, or you're weird, you're different, that's not the way you should be, you know, that sort of thing. And here is Megan, basically a shining example, you know, for us all, that this is the way that we need to remember how to be.
Well, that's what I liked about it, too, because you're mentioning, you're touching on the same kind of thing I got in the social experience I had, because we were in a farm community and there were some situations where you couldn't get too close because you knew the end result was a market. And that was difficult. I remember, you know, the first time that I sold a market barrow and the name and, you know, the relationship that comes with that. And it's a very stark reality when you have developed a relationship with an animal who has a personality, who's very engaging, and then that comes and it's over. So I'm putting it very, very politely, but it's one of those things where that environment, then you still have the connections, but you kind of tone it down because this is the way of life, the way of being. And what I see or what I feel and sense and hoping with Megan, that there are so many more opportunities out there for the children who just automatically do this to be rewarded and encouraged and welcomed and helped to just pass on their own knowing, their reality, to others who are around them. And I saw adults just like you, you know, just saying, oh my gosh, and I read the comments, you know, and a lot of the comments were that, the tears, the oh wow. Because with this, it's just a whole new way of viewing our connections with animals, and that in your head thing is right there when we're open to allowing it.
Yeah, it's times have changed. People are growing more and more aware or open, I guess is the word, adults. Children have it. They're born open. But to the idea that we can connect with animals and nature in a different way, and it's a crucial time for us to be growing that awareness, because that's the only thing that's going to get us back into balance worldwide.
Well, and you work with this on a bigger level with lots of people. If you're listening right now, I want to give you a website, or just do a Google search for the little girl. And she said in the quote, "I used all my experience with dogs to rescue Daisy." And so it was just, and she's just, the picture of her is just, it's priceless. Anyway, you can check it out. It's the NBC Bay Area and NBC Bay Area News or NBC Bay Area website. There's also some Google stuff too, and I posted it on one of my sites as well. But just so you can see what we're talking about, because I think it's a new chapter, and these kinds of experiences happen in other areas as well. The mom just happened to be in the right place at the right time to get this and encapsulate it so that we could all say yay and wow. And
yes,
when you're working, and the website I mentioned earlier was Reiki Shamanic, what direction have you recently noticed people going in their questions and then there and working with them and trying to help them? I know you do classes online. What have you seen as recently?
Well, people are searching. They're searching for meaning, searching for connection, deeper connection in some cases. Many people that come are already, you know, animal people. But what they're discovering as they go through the healing journey, I was thinking the other day that kind of like what I do is help people peel off the layers that have been put over who they were, you know, as a child, basically, to get back to that childlike joy, delight, openness, trust, and what they're rediscovering, you know, is their joy. And it shifts their relationship with all the animals, the ones in their household, as well as the ones they walk around in the world. And that's healing.
Have you found it easier to connect with some animals?
You mean in general?
In general, yeah.
I have definitely found it easier to connect with animals. I'd always had a bond with them. You know, I was always the kid that was, if you were looking for me, I'd be under the table with the dogs kind of thing. you know, curled up with the cats somewhere, or hanging out with my friend Willow Tree. And yes, I had stones in my pockets, and you know, I brought nature home with me, however much I could. But when I entered the world of Reiki, and that was because I was searching for meaning and purpose in my own life, but I didn't know where to find it, and I felt drawn to take a Reiki class. And when I showed up for the class, I had an open mind, but no, you know, expectations of exactly what I'd be doing with this. I didn't really understand it at the time anyways. So, and it was during the attunement process, which is where the Reiki master teacher, it's an energetic process that opens up the student's energy channels and reconnects them. I think of it as a reconnection to source or universal life force energy is how it's expressed in Reiki.
Yeah.
And when I felt that connection, it was, I literally had a connection or reconnection with myself and realized that all my life, it was a huge epiphany in the middle of the attunement process of all my life I had wanted to be a healer, I just hadn't realized it. And I knew that I would work with animals. And once I had that shift, it was a huge shift, all of a sudden, animals had liked me before, but it was like I became an animal magnet after that. So there would be, you know, I've been approached by yellow jackets. I mean, a lot of people would be like, oh, my God, yellow jackets. But, you know, everybody needs healing. And the animals, you know, if they're not feeling well, know what you have on tap because they live in the world by sensing and perceiving energy. That's what keeps them safe. Mm-hmm. That awareness of energy. And I'll tell you the story of my neighbor cat, Gracie. Gracie lived across the street from me, and she was the neighborhood greeter. She absolutely adored people. So if you were out gardening, sunning yourself, having a yard sale, whatever it was, Gracie was there with you. And if she couldn't find a person to hang out with, she'd go down to the little gift shop on the corner and go in and hang out with the with the customers there.
Very social.
Very social. And I opened my door to go outside one day, and there was Gracie sitting on the doorstep waiting for me. And she was like, meow, meow, meow. And I was like, what? You know, oh, do you want some Reiki? So I pick her up, and I normally didn't pick her up. You know, I would pet her, but so I picked her up, and she flips over my arm so that now I'm cradling her like a baby, which is not how I would ever hold a cat. Mm-hmm. And my hand is on her belly, and she's purring like a banshee, and she's slightly drooling.
Whoa.
And, yeah, and she just totally blissed out, you know, in the healing energy. And it was very clear that there was something, you know, not right with her because she was just drawing the energy in very, very quickly. Uh-huh. So I spoke to her people and told them what happened and said, you might want to take her to the vet. Well, they took her to the vet and turned out that she had a urinary tract infection. So a little time passed, and I opened my door again one day, and there's Gracie waiting for me. She came back. So I pick her up. We go through the same routine. She's drooling. She's happy. She's purring. So I told her people again. They took her to the vet. Turned out she had a slight abscess on her head. A little time passes. I open the door. There's Gracie. The only time she showed up on my doorstep.
When she needed help.
Right. So I pick her up, and she's like, meow, 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 meow. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. It was the day after the 4th of July, and she was complaining about the bangs and the booms and the noise and how scary it was, so she came for emotional, spiritual healing that time. So I talked to her people, and I said, she finds it really scary to be outside during the 4th of July. You might want to have her in, you know, at night. So bless their hearts, as a result of Gracie coming over and, you know, basically signing herself up for sessions. They got me a gift certificate for Christmas to say thank you. But those the only times that she did it was, you know, when she needed help. And the final part of that story is that she got older, and I noticed that she didn't seem to be doing so well, but she didn't show up on my doorstep. And then one night at 11 o'clock, there was a knock on the door, and her people were there, and they said Gracie had been missing for a couple of days and had been found immobile in a driveway.
Oh.
You know, could I come? I said, sure. Went across the street, and they'd placed her on a chair, and she was essentially paralyzed, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Yet despite that, when I knelt down to look at her, she tried to crawl into my arms.
Yeah.
And she grabbed me with her one paw and basically just sunk the claws in, desperate for help. So I worked with her, and she got calm and relaxed. And then I finally said to her people, I said, I've done, you know, everything that I can. I did use Reiki and shamanic healing. And I said, it's now time. You have to take her to the emergency vet. I didn't tell them this, but I was pretty sure that I was saying goodbye to Gracie.
Yeah.
And sure enough, the vet diagnosed either she'd had a major stroke or it was a brain tumor. I think it was a brain tumor, but she came back to me in spirit, gave me a gift. She was a wonderful teacher.
Can I ask the gift?
Yes. I had, you know, the universe works in interesting ways. Time and space don't mean things, right?
Right.
So I had ordered this beautiful carved stone from Peru, because my original background is in Peruvian shamanism. And it had the three archetypes on it and the seven sacred hills of Cusco. And it's about the size of a baseball, okay?
Whoa. So
I was like, yeah, that's not going in my mesa, my healing bundle. That's going on my altar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of so, bowling ballish. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they contacted me at 11 o'clock at night, and I said goodbye to Gracie sometime after midnight. So later that morning, i.e., you know, like 9 or 10 o'clock, I get the mail, and there's a package, and I can feel that the stone is in it. And when I open it, Gracie shows up. She said to me, this is my gift to you. The energy that this stone contains is a gift of unconditional love, which is what she had.
Mm-hmm.
And I also realized that it was going in my mesa because it was a healing stone.
Yeah.
This is why my mesa weighs like 10 pounds.
See, those little things, they're just to talk about them, it doesn't have the full weight. When you experience something like that, it just goes to the core. There's just, it's like a lightning bolt to the core. You just feel that infusion. And it is, like you said, it's such a gift. And in so many ways, it then engages with our energy to create expansion and that wonderful thing where we're no longer stuck in being a physical form. We are that formless, wonderful energy that is all inclusive. You know, there's no separation. So there she was saying, here, and thank you in that same way, you know, the gift and the thank you.
Yes, and the gift that keeps on giving, because that particular Kuya or healing stone often works a lot with people who are grieving the loss of their animal.
Mm. I really have gone through different stages in terms of grief. Each of my pets who has transitioned has done it in a different way. And you never get used to saying goodbye. It doesn't get easier. But at the same time, their unique messages in that transitioning are so powerful. My dog let me know ahead of time and said there was something he needed to be here for, and then he wanted to go after that. And then something happened where it was specific and we made eye contact. He said, this is why I needed to be here. And then when he was ready to transition, he wanted to go with an assist. He didn't want to lose his grace, and he wanted to go out with dignity. So he asked for an assist, where I had a cat who said, Nope, I got this. And it was so incredibly hard for me to distance myself from the cat to allow him to build his energy and step out. And I had to leave the house, and because I had set for myself a goal, and I will never let any of my animals die by themselves. Well, that's unrealistic, but that was how I felt. Oh, they couldn't be alone. And knowing that even then we all have our own guides, whether we're a person or an animal, and I knew that he had support, but I had to step away, and the guide said, you can't stay here. Well, when I came back, he had transitioned. And at that moment, I said, please give me a sign. Let me know you're okay. And that's what they said, see why you had to leave? And he told me, he said, you're making this hard. I need my space. And it was amazing, because when he ate, he drank, he was almost recovering in a way from that, that wasting phase they go into. Mm-hmm. He had more buoyancy. And that was the day he left. And I thought, wow. But he wanted to show me what it was like to step out knowing, to step out with intent. And it was a different type of transition. But so they teach us in so many ways about living and dying.
Oh, definitely. They're the greatest teachers we have. Go ahead.
You had a tremendous connection with a cat, a big cat.
It's funny you should say that. You're talking about Windwalker, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Because I was just about to speak about him.
Good timing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great minds and all that. Yes, Windwalker is a mountain lion. He's now in spirit. And I met him at Earthfire Institute in Driggs, Idaho, which is a sanctuary for wild animals. And Windwalker had lived there since he was under a year old. A lot of people think it's a cool idea to have, a wild animal in their home. And I understand the pull, because we miss what we don't have. People are missing that connection to nature. And so mm-hmm. we bring domestic animals into our homes to fulfill that, and plants and fountains. And we try to create nature in our house. But it is not a good idea to try to live with mountain lions, tigers, etc., bears. They don't domesticate very well. And so Windwalker was rescued by Earthfire Institute, and when I met him, he was, gosh, I don't remember exactly how old he was, maybe 12, 13, so he was a senior citizen, but still very vibrant, and it was the first A Walk on the Wild Side, the event that I held at Earthfire Institute, where I bring people in ceremony with the animals. The animals are ambassadors. Truly ambassadors. They see themselves that way. A liaison, if you will, between the animals in the wild and the people, in our cultures. Mm-hmm. And so by bringing the people and the animals together in ceremony, we can blend our prayers, for a sustainable future, and one where we have a different relationship with each other. And, of course, the animals participate in that. And Windwalker kind of came to my attention towards the end of the event as somebody who was more than, I don't want to say just an ambassador, but he was a master teacher. Some animals have chosen to do higher work, as those of us, some of us here choose to do, you know, higher work. And what happened was I ended up, he was nurturing the connection between us after I left. So I would find myself having conversations with him from a distance. And he would ask me for healing work from time to time because he was starting to feel his age. And we were coming back for a second event a year, you know, the following year. And I was getting reports from Earthfire that he was failing.
Mm-hmm.
And one day he came to me and he said, I need you to help me stay. And I was like, Windwalker, I'm not God, you know? He said, no, it's important that I be here for this event that's coming up.
He said, yes.
You have to help me stay.
Yeah.
I said, well, I'll do whatever I can, you know? So I opened my mesa.
Hold on.
Yep.
Hold that thought, because this is where it gets interesting. Just in time for the break.
Yeah.
I'm talking with Rose Dedan. ReikiShamanic.com is the website. We're talking about Windwalker and an amazing, amazing story here. So stick around. Conscious Living, Empower Radio.
You wanted to see me?
Yes, please, have a seat. So here's the thing. When this company brought you on, we took a chance on you. You didn't have that 4-year college degree we typically look for.
Right.
But we gave you a shot anyway. And since then, you've worked incredibly hard and given it your all.
Thanks.
You've been an important asset to the team, but I don't think you can be an intern here anymore. We want to hire you.
You're serious?
Absolutely.
Find your next great employee. Introduce yourself to the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
I won't let you down.
I know.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Today might be the day I drop out of school. Today could be the last day I try. My parents alone can't stop me. My friends can't even stop me. But you might be able to. With United Way, you could tutor me, be my mentor, or volunteer to just read with me. If someone had helped me earlier, I might not be struggling. And studies prove that kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. There are tons of ways people like you can help kids like me stay in school. And United Way is calling for you to be one of them. Because it takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between me becoming one or the other could be you. Make me a success, not a statistic.
Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much.
For taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot.
For leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom. For taking you to your therapies. For understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Come on, smile.
Oh, honey, he's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah, maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy.
Or maybe he's teething.
Maybe it's just a phase.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No Big Joyful Smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
And it's Conscious Living. Hi there. I'm Wendy. We stopped right in the middle of the story about Windwalker and his need to stick around a little while. He needed an energetic assist. And this is what is so compelling, because Reiki works. It is an incredible ability that we all can tap into. And in this instance, he asked Rose for a helping hand. So go ahead and pick up where you left off, kind of.
So I opened my Mesa, my healing bundle, and opened sacred space, which means opening a space between the worlds. The shaman or medicine person stands between the worlds, a connection to this world and to the realm of spirit. And, you know, I basically sought counsel with my guides, and I was totally surprised to discover that the guidance they gave me was to take Windwalker to do the death rites for him. And it's something I was trained in Peruvian shamanism to do for people, but I had not actually ever done that, you know, with an animal. And essentially, Tokachinchai, the great archetypal jaguar who stands with a foot between both worlds, she's the connection to the spirit world in Peruvian shamanism. For the death rites, I had this done in Peru, which was at Machu Picchu at night, of all places, to do
that. Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Amazing. And what you do is you lie down on the stone, and the medicine person removes your spirit from your body and throws it out to the universe, to Tokachinchai. And Tokachinchai is huge. She's bigger than, you know, she's like building size. And Tokachinchai swallows you, takes you on this journey through the universe, and then spits you back out, and the medicine person puts you in the body. And I've been noted to irreverently say, you know, it's like shamanic furball. But...
Okay, now that's an image you can't take back.
No, yeah.
Okay.
And it
works.
And it's real. Okay. It's real because I was assisting before it was my turn. Mm-hmm. And they have llamas or llamas and alpacas roaming Machu Picchu. And one of the llamas had come up to see what we were doing. And at that moment, the medicine person tossed the spirit of the person who was on the stone out right past the llama, who totally spooked because he saw this spirit coming whizzing by him, crashed into the backpacks, and it was almost, you know, I almost had to go help the llama.
Yeah.
And it's a very profound experience. And why they do it is you die to the death that's stalking you. So it disconnects that which was supposed to happen,
mm-hmm.
that particular way, so that you can create a new future.
Well, you can be independent instead of caught up in the drama and the dharma, the karma, the autopilot. You're out of lockstep. You're a self-realized being, and that, I mean, that's my way of interpreting it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's that way or not. The way I think of it is...
How do you think of it?
You get rid of the old history, like your family history of diabetes, this, that, the other thing.
Yeah.
And in Windwalker's case, it disconnected him from that which was happening. He rallied. It was extremely profound to do that,
yeah,
for him and to see what happened. But the thing is that it's said that in doing that process, that what happens for the medicine person is that they have then the ability to die consciously. And that's what happened for Wynn. Blind Walker.
Yes. Yes.
There's a, in the article that I wrote about this, there's a connection to John Simpson, who was his closest companion, wrote a very moving story about what happened at Wind Walker's death. But if it's appropriate, what I'd like to do is share here Wind Walker's message for the world, because after he crossed over, what he did was come back 2 days later and say, there's something that I need to share with you that I want you to share with other people, which actually totally now influences the entire structure of how I teach people and the stories that I write and what I do.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's a great story. It's very effective. And in terms of what that felt like, that's what I thought Rowdy, my cat, was demonstrating to me, that conscious disengagement from the actual, the time that was preset to a time that was then for me a tool and a teaching element that said, this is how it can work. And it's another piece of the puzzle for me. But yeah, this is, it's a great time for his message. Please share it.
So he took me on a shamanic journey. So that's into non-ordinary reality for anybody who might not know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And the journey began in a great meadow where all the animals were gathered. Windwalker sat in front, grooming. I greeted him. Windwalker turned and showed me a vast plain and only a few buffalo encircled by a fence. On the other side of the fence, a man was crying. Windwalker told me that because of the separation that we had created between man and wildlife, both suffered. The bison had no freedom without, and man had no freedom within. I heard, what has been sundered must be made whole again, or all will die. I asked Windwalker what we must do to become whole again, and he put a paw across my shoulders, and together we looked out across the land. He said, we must work together. I looked at him and asked, you and I? He laughed, and with a rough lick to my face, rumbled, I meant people and animals, but yes, we still have work to do together, you and I. What must the people do? I asked. And he showed me a view inside a person, from heart to belly. Inside that person, I saw a landscape where birds sang and plants grew. And as I watched, the tendrils grew until they were outside the person and reached toward other people, each with their own garden. Each person must cultivate a garden within themselves, he said. And when they do, we, the animals, birds, plants, fish, will reach back to them. Together we are strong. Together we can heal ourselves and this world. And he showed me each person tending their inner garden, healing themselves by removing weeds of anger, pain, loss, planting seeds of empathy and compassion in fertile soil nurtured with love and organic nutrients. The scene changed and all was dark around me. Windwalker was to my right, and I realized that we were swimming deep in an ocean. He was searching for someone or something, leaving me alone and then returning. Out of the darkness, a great eye appeared. And as we surfaced, I saw Windwalker riding the back of a great whale. Whale showed me the vast ocean, and instead of seeing living animals, I saw marine fossils from long ago. Then I saw great bleached bones on the shores of the land. Whale was showing me how long he had existed and the rise and fall of species he had seen, mass extinction. And he made it clear that we were facing another such time right now. And then a great wind reached down and picked Windwalker and I up, spiraling into the clouds. And as I watched Windwalker riding the winds, I realized how he got his name. Told me we were going to speak to the winds. I was not sure about this. What would I say? Around us gathered storm clouds, gentle breezes, and all the weather patterns in between. Windwalker and I were in the center of this amazing gathering, and with speech that I felt rather than heard, the Wairas, the wind people, communicated that weather patterns were changing. I was shown buffeting winds and smoke rising everywhere, which I took to be carbon dioxide and pollution. Then they showed me each person planting a tree, their suggestion to help bring things back into balance. They also showed me an image of many feet walking and more closely knit and smaller communities within cities. The Wairas told me that they did not want to treat the earth and the people roughly, but the balance had been upset, and without our help, it could not be restored. They also mentioned ceremony, showing me offerings being made. It was suggested that we had forgotten gratitude for the natural elements, and that had made a difference also. And then the Wairas showed me all of them holding hands, and those hands extended to the people and the animals. And they showed me the heavens and the hands extending from the stars towards us. All is connected, they said. What affects one affects all. But it also means that you have our support. It is time to recall what has been forgotten. Tears were streaming down my face, and I hugged Windwalker, overcome with awe and gratitude for what I was being shown. I thanked him, the Wairas, the stars, and Whale. And with my journey ended, I returned. I always get emotional when I revisit that. It's
absolutely.
It was a very, very, very powerful journey.
Very vivid. And at this moment in time, these messengers and these messages are incredibly, incredibly helpful because it's a remembering of what we're working through and how this is all fluid. It isn't concrete. It's each and every one can do his or her own medicine walk, her own journey of remembering and of intending to upgrade or, you know, re-engage with spirit in some form. The Reiki is a really visual way of seeing it. You feel it when you get an attunement or when you have someone who helps you with an energetic assist. There are books out there on working with animals as well. It's just another way of acknowledging the connection we have with everything, with all in one.
Yep. Where it's the web, the great web. And the thing that, you know, as I revisit the journey again, this was in 2011, you know, it's 2017 now, and look at the changes that have taken place with, you know, the impact of climate change that we're seeing. So, it's...
I agree.
Right.
I agree.
And it's not, we don't have to despair. Essentially, what I've been told is, we can change this, but we need to bring in not just all the practical things that we can do. Those are important. But we need to step outside of time and space into the realm of energy and call upon our guides, our allies, ceremony with, this is why I bring people in ceremony with the animals, to help create that shift. And each of us can do that intentionally. You know, by working on ourselves, by pulling out, you know, all the things that keep us separate, you know, the anger, the judgment, which is up big time right now. We have to heal that, put it aside, find what unites us, and work together with all our relations, as well as ourselves.
I think in terms of what's happening right now, this is intended to help us boost our own awareness of where we can bring a higher energy, a higher intention to the present. And before, you know, when everything is fine and things are smooth, yeah, and there is no dissent and no conflict or strife.
There's nothing like adversity to spur us to do higher things. Yes.
It's like, okay, how difficult does this have to be?
And it could be looked at as a healing crisis where it gets worse before it gets better.
Yeah. Well, to purge, to drive out the toxin, to cleanse, to clarify, to release. And so that brings it back to the animals are part of this as well. And when you develop a relationship that helps you expand your own ability, your telepathy, your inner sense, your insight, whatever it happens to be, animals often are kind of a co-creator in that. In that, your cat may be talking to you and you're ignoring the cat. That's like you did with the cat who came to visit you. She came for a certain reason and you wouldn't have engaged her in the same way. She came to say, okay, now I know you can do this. Would you please help me out? Excuse me? Hello? Mm-hmm. Duh.
Yeah, well, they know the way back because that's where they live. Is in connection,
yeah,
with all that is. We're out of balance, and they know it. And if we can move from our heads to our hearts and listen to the animals who share our households, listen to the ambassadors that exist, that live in zoos, many of them have chosen to be there. I know many people find zoos upsetting. I go into them because there are animals, many animals there who are like, hey, we're here to do this job, but all the people who come, many of the people who come to see us don't realize that. They just kind of see us as an object and move on to the next one. So, I bring people that are wanting to listen, wanting to hear, wanting to learn, and to do ceremony with them. And how they respond is very, very profound and has been noticed by the zoo itself, actually.
Yeah, yeah. There's a scene in Harry Potter where Harry sees the snake, you know, and he talks,
oh, yeah.
You know, he talks to the snake and says, you're from Burma, you know, because he's saying, do you know, you miss your parents? And the snake looks over the sign and says, bred in captivity, you know, Burma. And he's like, yeah, I understand that. And the snake, you know, says, nobody talks to me. And he's like, he's surprised. Well, nobody's talked to you before. But that's the thing. Each and every individual animal has a presence, has an incredible, incredible depth of awareness in their own being. And when we take time out to really see them and really awaken to that other sense that we have that is compassionate and caring and engaging and communicative, then we get an incredible engagement with another being who is very unlike us, but has so much more wisdom to share if we could only give that an opening in our heart, our mind, our space, our knowing. Does that make sense?
Yes, and we have to be willing to look at the world through their eyes, which is what Megan, the little 6-year-old,
yes,
did. I mean, she knew that there were certain things that she could do physically that a dog would understand. The getting down low,
uh-huh,
making yourself not a threat,
right,
making yourself down to, you know, a relaxed level. In addition to speaking, I know she talks about, you know, speaking to the dog, you know, with her brain.
Yes.
Which is one way to think of, you know, telepathy or animal communication. The real communication takes place through the connection in the heart. About being in our bodies and being in our hearts. And, you know, when you do that, you're not separate. You're not human and dog or human and mountain lion. You are both spirit. That's the deepest level of connection and communication. So those barriers fall away.
it's like the fence you saw in your vision where the buffalo were on one side and the people were on the other. And it's a saying of saying there's no need to fence yourself away from each other. There's no, when you feel you need to protect yourself, that's the first barrier. That's that lack of trust. And it doesn't mean to go into, you know, a dangerous situation. It means to do the work on yourself to understand where your fear is and what you're really afraid of. Because when you do that, that's when the heart is freer, because you've identified a stumbling block, a barrier to your own awareness and your own ability to be engaged with that spirit plane. At least that's the way I put it.
And in that particular journey, we have so many barriers in our world. And we try to control nature and shut it out. And the fence is actually a very powerful symbol in that journey for the literal fences that we put up.
Yes.
For keeping the buffalo are actually symbolic of all that. There used to be like millions, tens of millions of buffalo roaming this land. And we, our government, you know, left 23 in Yellowstone National Park. They killed them all. And I go every year to Yellowstone in ceremony to collect the prayers of the animals prior to going to ceremony with the ambassadors at Earth Fire Institute for Walk on the Wild Side.
Mm-hmm.
And it's rigidly controlled. If the buffalo set foot out of Yellowstone National Park to do their natural migrations, they're rounded up, they're herded, they're harassed, they're shot, all because the ranchers, ranching interests, want to have fenced the land for the cattle, or they're grazing them on, you know, public land, and they want to keep the buffalo out. So it's a place where, because all of those real life things exist, in shamanism you work things through four levels: consensual reality, symbolic, mythic, and energetic, and that's when real shift can happen. So that's one of the reasons why that place is the focal point, and it was interesting to see it, you know, turn up in the journey. So it caused me to hone, you know, it gave me more of a map, shall we say, from this realm of spirit as to which direction, you know, all this work needed to go in. And it's really amazing to carry the prayer stick and the prayer and the buffalo blanket through Yellowstone National Park. The animals literally come out to the roadside. I think I saw every buffalo in Yellowstone National Park. There are about 4,000 of them. And having gone every year, it's increasing, you know, the animals that come. We literally had bighorn sheep lying in the road waiting for us. It was just phenomenal.
So powerful. So powerful.
Very.
Rose, yeah. We're going to have to break. I want to give you time to invite people to work with you and learn from you. So if you would share, because I know you do sessions by Skype and personal sessions, go ahead and share. We've got about 2 minutes left. Share your information.
Well, I don't do sessions by Skype, but I do them by phone.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oops, I overextended you already. See, hey, well, maybe I'll have to share.
That's okay.
Oops.
But yes, I do sessions with animals, and I do sessions with people, and I teach teleclasses in both Reiki and a shamanic teleclass called Bone Stones, Feathers, and Fur. And then for the advanced classes, I also teach people how to blend Reiki and shamanic practices for animal healing purposes. So the classes are essentially, the purpose is always, shall we say, in alignment with Windwalker's message for the world, people being able to learn how to do their own personal healing, and with respect to Reiki, also helping to heal others, people and animals. And so I'd also do events. Those are all listed on my website. I've got a calendar of events on there. But I think the easiest way for people is if they want to sign up for my newsletter. I don't bombard people.
No, yeah. And see, I've just seen the post on Facebook talking about the teleclasses, and I am automatically jumped that to, you know, add the Skype connection. It's like, see, that autopilot, fill in the blank. I know that, you know, this is a great opportunity. This time of the year, the things that are going on, people are looking for connections, and you are a great resource, in my opinion. So I really appreciate your time. And your book is still available, Tales of a Healer.
Yep.
And then Reiki Shamanic is the website.
And I hope to have a new book out. I'm working on it, collecting more stories. I've got lots.
Excellent. No, I know. You do the work, and all of a sudden the book writing goes by the wayside. But yeah, it's time. Rose Dedan, my guest today, Tales of a Healer, ReikiShamanic.com. Check in with her. I'll post something on the blog, Animal Insight. And just, if you have that connection in your heart, well, then that's half the battle. If you need to open your heart, relax. Say, I'm ready. Till next time. Stay curious. See ya.